This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow. We've got a whole bunch of stuff to get to today. And the first thing, of course, is the big giveaway that y'all are doing, right?
We did an iPod drawing. We had five of those iPod Nanos. Those are the little video iPods. And we did a recruitment drive in November to recruit new people to sign up for Charlottesville Tomorrow's free services. So you get our emails and notices about what's on the blog and everything. And you can still sign up at cvilletomorrow.org. But we've had the drawing, and I'll give you the names of four of the winners. We have Ed Fowler, Kathy Morrell.
Do these people know that they've won?
They already know that they've won. So sorry, we're not surprising them right now.
Okay.
Stephen Bach and David Bridges. So I want to thank them for signing up and joining Charlottesville Tomorrow, and they get a free iPod.
There you go. And you were just showing me that thing. That's the only phrase I can think of. That's damn cool.
It is very
I want one
cool.
of those.
I want one, too.
That's really cool. It's like the size of a credit card, and yet it's like a little tiny TV. And
yeah, and, of course, we want them to download all of our podcast and videos and have it all be Charlottesville Tomorrow content. But
of course.
They can also listen to music on these things, I understand.
Yeah, well, you could take that to the gym with you if you want over to ACAC and work out. You know, you and I are from the era of the Sony Walkman. As a matter of fact, I had the first Sony Walkman. It was like carrying a big old car battery, you know, on your belt. And you slip this cassette in it with these big old headphones. But boy, back then it was just terrific to have something like that.
The technology is amazing. I mean, to think that all the records we ever listened to can now be in our pocket.
Yeah, yeah. And Matt amazing. Got one. Matt, you got one the other day, didn't you? Just a regular iPod. How many songs you got on there? A few billion? Yeah, a few billion.
I've got about 1,000 on mine.
You do? You have one?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, not one. I don't have a new fancy one. I have one of the old ones.
Right. I got to get one of those new fancy ones. That's pretty cool.
So that was the big news yesterday that we did the drawing.
Congratulations to the winners. They got new iPods.
And then last week when I was in Coy, we were talking about the Eastern Connector public input sessions, and those were held last week in the community. There were two of them, and the public showed up in force to give our local leaders feedback about these proposed roads.
Doesn't sound like the public was too happy with the proposed road.
It was interesting. Sean Tubbs on my staff wrote up a great story. It's up on our blog. And Sean said that when the public was given the opportunity to put little stickers on which path, which route they preferred, they said, well, what if we don't like any of them? And so the consultants had to scramble and put up an easel pad that said, you know, alternate zero. And apparently that's where all the stickers ended up.
Oh, man.
So
Brian, remind us first, what is the Eastern Connector for the folks who just moved here from Des Moines?
Eastern Connector would be another way to get from 29 North to the Pantops area, avoiding coming in on 29, getting on the 250 bypass. So it'd be, some people would call it an eastern bypass. And there are a number of different places it might be. It might be as far north as Prophet Road and connect over to Route 20. It might be Polo Grounds Road and connect to Route 20. Or it might be coming in on 29 to Rio, cut through Penn Park over to 20. So those are the different ones that are being looked at. Now, here's an interesting thing, Coy. I'm going to ask you a surprise question. How much, if they built the Eastern Connector through Penn Park, how much time do you think it would save your commute if you were going from Pantops to Hollymead Town Center?
Through Penn Park?
Yep.
Which is the option that's probably closest to the city?
Closest to the city. How much time do you think that would save you?
No, hardly any at all. That's not the option I'd go with.
That would save you 1.9 minutes, according to those studies.
For how much money?
That would cost you $49.5 million.
To save a minute on the commute.
Just under 2 minutes.
From North 29 to the Pantops area.
That's correct.
Yeah. Obviously, we don't want to build it through Penn Park.
Okay, so what's your preferred path then?
Preferred path doesn't exist. Well, I'd go as far north as you can, and I would take it over to 64. To the interchange. They want to take it over to 20 and drop you down in that crazy Pantops intersection.
Yep.
I wouldn't do that. That's just going to create more of a mess than we already have on Pantops. You need to take the road all the way over to the interchange.
Okay, well, if you went the Polo Grounds way, you would save 1 minute on your commute at a cost of $61 million.
Is that the highest north option at this point?
That's the middle option.
Okay.
Now, if you went as far north as Prophet Road, relocated Prophet from the historic Prophet area, you would save about 0.4 minutes.
0.4 minutes?
0.4 minutes, because you still have to...
So not even a full minute?
Not even a full minute at a cost of $48 million. So the public was reacting to some of that data that was presented for the first time in these meetings last week. And basically, they sent it back to the drawing board. So this will be discussed further.
It doesn't make any sense.
Well, that's what...
You'd spend tens of millions of dollars for this road that was supposed to be so great and save time, and the consultants are saying it'll cost you a fortune and it's not going to save you any time.
Correct. That's my takeaway from it. That was the public reaction.
Then why would we build it?
Well, they're going back to the drawing board and being challenged to come up with that answer. And as soon as they do, we will let you know.
I find it hard to believe, though, that a straight shot from North 29 to Pantops isn't going to save you some time versus coming down 29, getting on 250 and driving to Pantops.
Yep. Well, I'm reading it here in black and white off the...
I'm scratching my head, literally. That's a bit perplexing.
Difference in minutes, travel time, Hollymead to Pantops, and it's got negative 0.4 profit road.
Wow. That's disappointing.
So there's cost estimates on here. You can get an idea of this, look at the data yourself, come to your own conclusion. But next Friday, the Eastern Connector Steering Committee is meeting again, and they're going to be talking about all the input they got last week.
Yeah, from most people who didn't really like the idea at all.
That's right.
Really. We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow, and they are saying that you can't put public money, federal money, towards putting a road through a historically significant park.
They have gotten this question of historic status on the table. It's called a Section 106 review, and it's something activists in the community like Peter Kleeman and Stratton Salidas have long lobbied for doing for the whole project, all three of these little sub-projects. They say, listen, it's one road. We're not going to build the interchange without the Meadow Creek Parkway, so let's look at it all as one thing, and let's do a Section 106 environmental assessment, historic review of the whole thing.
Because the bureaucrats would like us to believe that the interchange at 250 and McIntyre Road is a separate thing from the Meadow Creek Parkway.
Well, they're calling it a separate project, yes. Yeah. It's got different funding sources.
And separate, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Whatever. Even though we all know.
Whatever. So there's there is this steering committee meeting about the interchange appointed by city council. And because of this Section 106 thing being put on the table, they had a little tour walking through the site of the interchange.
Who did? This
members
committee?
Of the city staff, the consultant, and I think a few members of the subcommittee, of the steering committee, not the whole committee, just a few members. Because I talked to some members who weren't even aware that this little tour was happening.
They weren't even invited to
they were not invited.
A meeting of their own committee that they were appointed to?
A portion of their committee was meeting.
Yeah.
It's not clear to me who was meeting. But I do know that city staff turned away the Daily Progress and members of the public who tried to join this tour because they were alerted to the tour and wanted to participate. And this comes on the heels of my experience at the Hillsdale Drive Steering Committee meeting, another road project, but where I was told by city staff that it was not a public meeting that the public could attend. And I persisted and was fortunate to have a motion passed to allow me to stay. But again,
that's at the meeting where you learned that there are plans possibly in the works to tear down not only the Terrace Triple movie theater, which is gone, but also the Seminole 4 theater behind Kmart. They want to tear down that too.
I came out of that meeting with all sorts of news about the U.S. Post Office concerns, all sorts of things.
They're
going to
tear down part of that mall up near the Giant.
Yeah, and that's why the public and the media should be allowed to go to these things, to fully understand how public money is being used.
So the latest meeting that was held regarding the Meadow Creek Parkway, in a nutshell, the city staff, the Charlottesville city staff, shooed away the reporters and said, no, you can't listen.
Correct. So if you want the full scoop on this, I believe Lisa Province with The Hook is going to have a story in Thursday's edition. So look for that. But that was the intrigue of the week, of the past couple weeks, and something I think for the public to keep an eye on.
Yeah. Is it legal for them to do this?
Well,
No, your reporter, you can't come to this public... This thing that we're doing, this committee that the city council set up to look at the Meadow Creek Parkway.
I will give a qualified answer. I don't know. In the case of federal projects with federal money like this, there is some federal highway administration policy, guidelines, whatever, that says the public should be engaged in these things. But that, in my mind, that may be a checkoff that you can say, well, we had a public hearing, so the public was involved. I think Charlottesville's expectations are much higher for public participation in these things. And in
Charlottesville
fact,
as a community?
Our community. And in fact, City Council last night talked about this very event because two members of the public came forward and raised this concern. People are being turned away. So City Council, three of the members, Kevin Lynch, Dave Norris, David Brown, said they were supportive of increased public participation in meetings like this. And they basically encouraged staff to reconsider their procedures. This steering committee for the 250 interchange was appointed by City Council, so that elevates it in its public body stature. The Hillsdale Drive Steering Committee that I went to was appointed by city staff. And I think my understanding of the law there is that it doesn't have to comply with all the open meeting requirements.
If they're appointed by staff. If they're appointed by City Council, a public body, creates elected people create a committee to study an issue.
But I would think
that you can't have secret meetings.
Well, but again, though, this was not the full steering committee. So, you know, I think we're in sort of this gray area. I'll be interested to read what Lisa Province with The Hook was able to dig up on this because it's an interesting story.
So at this point, no decisions made regarding this whole idea about historical significance of McIntyre Park and the use of federal money to put a road there.
Well, I don't know. Nobody was at the meeting that could report on it.
Touche. I wasn't there. They wouldn't let me go to the meeting. Hey, real quick before we go to a break, there's something about co-housing.
Yeah, we've got another good story at the on our blog right now. There was a project approved out in Crozet by the Board of Supervisors. This happened about 3 weeks ago, but because of vacations and Thanksgiving, we delayed our reporting on this. But now we've got a great report up. Sean Tubbs wrote this and did a podcast. Typically, our podcast, our gavel-to-gavel coverage of a meeting. But sometimes when you get into one project and the Board of Supervisors, I mean, they can go for hours talking about one project. And in this case, they did that. So we condensed it down to 17 minutes. Of the best, the highlights of this co-housing project.
See, I like things like that.
Co-housing is an intentional community, they call it. So this is a group of homes that
aren't... Like a commune?
Are
they making hammocks?
They would rather you didn't call it that.
But it's people who get together and say, hey, we'd like to make a neighborhood.
Right. And so they've got a little neighborhood here.
That's cool.
I'm looking at the drawing. And what's different about it is, you know, you can't drive up to your house. They've got parking lots outside of the community. And then it's intended to support, you know, a lot of walking and mingling with the neighbors and front porches facing each other.
What do you do with your groceries?
Well,
you have a golf cart?
They probably have little Segways or something.
Yeah. Go from there. Where is this?
This is out in Crozet off of Route 250.
And it's approved?
And it has been approved. Yes.
How many homes?
I believe there are, I want to say, 26.
That was a lot.
Yeah, 26 homes. It's off of, off of Route 240.
So it is a co-housing thing? Do they have to, are they like part of the same softball team? I mean, do they, how do they self-identify? I'm wondering, who are these people?
Well, you know, this is a group of folks that have come together, and apparently there's a lot of interest in this. One of the leaders working on this lives in a community like this near Blacksburg and is bringing that experience to Charlottesville. Actually, he's somebody I went to school with at UVA. So he's very gung-ho about this, excited.
Interesting.
Things that are out-of-the-box thinking like this, another good example is Bundoran Farm south of town.
Yeah, very out-of-the-box. We're going to have those guys in to talk about that.
And, you know, some of those projects run into obstacles when they hit the county's ordinances. This one hit an obstacle when it came to stormwater, believe it or not. The community wanted to handle stormwater a little differently. And so that's, you'll hear the discussion or you can read it on our blog.
Email me his name and we'll get him in here to talk about it.
Yeah, they'd love to talk about it.
Cool. We are talking with Brian Wheeler here on this wonderful Tuesday. I just called Allison during the break. She said, you sound horrible. Do you have a cold? I said, yes, I've had a cold for a month. At any rate, I need some more drugs. At any rate, some, you know, the legal kind you get from a doctor. Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. He joins us on Tuesday afternoons to talk about growth and development. And we're going to talk in this half hour about all the new shopping centers, get an update on all these new shopping centers that are headed to a neighborhood near you. But before we do, speaking of the shopping center, Kmart, which, by the way, I just want to say as an aside, I don't know how hard, it doesn't matter how hard you try. That's one store in this town that you cannot go in and get out of quickly. I don't know why. I stopped by today just to get some cough drops. I literally just, you cannot get out of there quickly.
Once you get to the checkout
once
line,
you get
you
to, yes, once you okay. get to the checkout. It looks nice. They fixed it up. It's all redone. It looks beautiful. But you just cannot get out of there speedily. There's no, like, quick line. They're all really slow. Anyway, up by the Kmart, they have torn down the Terrace Triple. And I noticed today they tore down that car wash.
Yeah, it must have happened in the past week that the car wash went. That's right out on Hydraulic Road.
Yeah, it used to be in front of the movie theater.
And so if you sort of draw a line through the car wash and the Terrace Triple, that will be the future Hillsdale Drive extended. And that will go all the way over to behind Toys R Us.
Will you be able to take a left off of Hydraulic onto the Hillsdale Drive? You know what I mean?
There will be a stoplight there.
There'll be a new stoplight.
Yes.
You're kidding.
They will replace the stoplight in front of Kroger and Kmart and move it down the hill, so to speak.
Oh. Yeah. I got you. All right, I'm following you now. Yeah. At the other Kroger intersection.
Yeah.
Where you're sort of driving behind Kroger.
Well, right now there's a light in front of Kroger and right out in front of Kmart.
Yeah.
So if you came out the front door of both those both those stores, you'd hit the traffic light. They will close that crossover on Hydraulic, move the light down to the Hillsdale Drive intersection. And then if you're going to Kmart or Gold's Gym or the new Whole Foods, whatever's in there,
yeah.
you'll come out at Hillsdale
and you'll
Drive.
Still be able to turn at that light and go into the Kroger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because there is a little driveway there to get to the Kroger anyway.
Right.
So you'll be able to turn there right or left onto Hillsdale Drive and go all the way up to Rio.
That's right.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
Now, to do that, you will have to get through probably the other theater behind Terrace, which is the Seminole Cinema 4, which we just went to a movie the other night there, and I was thinking, I was telling the kids and my wife, Gina.
Enjoy it while it lasts.
Yeah, here it is. There's going to be a road right where we're sitting.
So they really want to tear that one down, too.
Yeah, well, it's in the way. So that will go down, and then the road will continue through the Giant Shopping Center. There'll be a roundabout in the middle of the Giant Shopping Center.
Yeah.
And then the road will continue to another traffic light where I think it's Seminole Road that comes in across from Sperry Marine.
Yeah.
You got that light out on 29. You could turn left to get into the Giant Shopping Center.
Where the Kiwanis has their trees.
Yeah.
Right exactly. In front of Office Depot.
That's right.
Yeah.
But the road, Hillsdale Drive, will go straight through that sort of north wing of the shopping
That little
center.
Strip mall where the pet store is.
Yeah.
They're going to tear that down, too.
Tiffany's Seafood seems to be right in line with where the road will
And they're going to tear that little strip mall down,
Well, they're going to create an opening in the building.
And it's going to go right through that.
Yeah, right through it.
And then up.
And then between the post office and the Pepsi plant.
It'll squeeze through there.
Yep. And then past the senior center.
And then join the road that
and
exists.
And then join the existing Hillsdale.
Wow. And all of this is happening in the next few months?
It's in the works.
Man. All right, we're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow. Let's talk about all these malls. Let's talk with the big one that is taking place as we speak, Hollymead Town Center, home of Target, which, my own preference. If I got to go to Walmart, Kmart, or Target, I would go to Target. It's worth the drive.
They have efficient checkout lines for you.
You can get out of there fast.
Yep.
And that's what I look for. They all have the same stuff pretty much, but I want to be able to get out quickly. Open up some darn registers and let me get out of there. You know, I don't want to stand in a line of eight people. But
Kinds of efficient operations get people's business.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where I like to go.
So Hollymead Town Center is, I'm finding it, Coy, more difficult to track these things after they're approved because, you know, we've spent a lot of time during the first couple of years of Charlottesville Tomorrow following these major rezonings. And it's one thing to follow them through the Planning Commission, the Board of Supervisors, but once they're approved, the rezoning's approved, then it's entirely up to the developer to decide when they want to build these things. And it's a little harder to follow the site plan process. But anyway, I've done a little research. I drove up to Hollymead Town Center today to get ready for your questions. And as probably—
Because there's construction going on there now.
There is.
Up behind the Harris Teeter.
And so— Instead of getting into the alphabet soup of Hollymead Town Center, you know, if you're driving down 29 and you look up above the Target, you see this, what's now a yellow building today.
Yeah.
Because of the insulation that's wrapping this building. So if you're wondering what that three-story yellow building is, and it won't be yellow when they're done, it's the Rosewood Village Assisted Living Home.
Ah, there's assisted living up there.
So that's an assisted living facility that's under construction right now. That's the first building you see. And it's at the second roundabout. So if you were coming on 29 South, you turn right at CVS, you head up into Hollymead Town Center, you hit the first roundabout, But if you go up to the second one, then you're right at that building.
That's for folks who haven't driven up there, it's a fantastic view of the Southwest Mountains. I mean, a really, really pretty view of the mountains.
Yep.
Southwest Mountains, which are actually east of us. But they were named by folks from Orange, in case you're wondering.
I always wondered about that.
Yeah.
And so the next building is another three-story building, which is a mix of office and what they call office condos. And that is called Abington Place. Abington Place offices and condominiums. There'll be about 56 condominiums on the second and third floor of that building, and there'll be office on the ground floor. So that's another three-story building going up in Hallamie Town Center. And again, starting to create this mix of having some residential units there. And
all of this is above the shopping center on the hill behind the shopping center.
And then if you turned in down this road, and I got to tell you, today it felt like I was on some Hollywood movie set. I mean, there were just workers all over the place. These buildings seemed to be growing out of the ground as I was driving by them. And it was sort of surreal. Just that level of activity in such a tight space.
Yeah, yeah.
Both sides of the street, you know, totally under construction.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow, Hollymead Town Center. I thought there was a bunch of townhouses that were supposed to go up there.
And then behind that is Abington Place, which is a townhouse. And there are about 149 units in Abington Place. I think the first phase of that is done now. The second phase is in the works. I counted about 77. I think they're approved for 88. And those townhouses are up and available. So that, again, is more residential coming in. You know, we had a caller last week who asked a very good question. What did the retail come online too quickly? Because some of the store owners have apparently been concerned that there wasn't enough activity. Well, that activity in the case in this area of Hollymead Town Center is certainly picking up. Now, the open land, or as they call it, the moonscape on the other side of Hollymead Town Center. So if you're at the Harris Teeter, all the visible open space to the left of that, which is where the stone house used to be along 29.
Yeah, the big flat open space right across from the Starbucks.
Right. That's called Area A1 of Hollymead Town Center, and that's been approved by the Board of Supervisors. You may not remember when it was approved, Coy, because it was approved the same night as Biscuit Run.
Ah, at so 1 in the morning?
Well, it was before, it was the first day of that meeting.
Yeah.
The next day was Biscuit Run. And then Area A2, which is another part of Hollymead Town Center, and up above Harris Teeter, and the Target on that hill, but sort of in between those buildings we described.
Yeah.
They're going to be 1,228 dwelling units. Those have been approved.
1,228 homes. What is that? Is that apartments?
It's multifamily and townhouses.
Wow.
And it's going to be mixed with other commercial use. You know, the idea there is commercial retail at the ground level, houses above.
How in the world are all those people that live up there going to get out from that one stoplight?
Well, and that's a big part of the...
When you combine it with all the people who are already in the shopping center.
Coy, I don't have a good answer to that question, but the place that's searching for an answer is the Places 29 Master Plan. But this brings up an interesting point. The Master Plan hasn't been approved yet. We have North Point, up 29
But
North.
All the homes have been approved.
We have Hollymead Town Center, of course, Forest Lakes, Hollymead, Forest Lake South. So this was a critique that some people brought before the Board of Supervisors when North Point in particular was being discussed. Shouldn't we wait for the master plan to be done before we approve everything else in this area?
Not under this board.
And so here, you know, you're asking about traffic.
They did the same thing with Pantoffs. Just go ahead and approve all the construction. We'll worry about the master plan later.
The master plan's coming
in behind.
So
you get to a point where the master plan doesn't matter.
Biscuit Run.
You've already approved all this construction.
There's no master plan for the Biscuit Run area either. So you're right to point that out. And I think on 29 North, the place now we're trying to find that solution is in the Places 29 master planning process. It'll be a big part of the Board of Supervisors' work in 2008.
Yeah. We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow. And let's get to some of these other shopping centers North Point. You mentioned that. Remind us again where that is and what's going on with North Point.
If you're heading up 29 North and you pass the Airport Prophet Road intersection, think of it as everything on the right until you cross the North Fork of the Ravanna River.
Wow. And so, some of that's already cleared off back in there, right?
Well, I don't know how much clearing they've done.
Is that back? It's over behind the 84 lumber
over there?
Yeah.
I have not seen a lot of clearing myself. I do know, I checked on it today. I didn't get an answer as to why this happened, but the preliminary site plan was turned down by Albemarle County. So this is a case where the rezoning's already been approved. North Point's definitely going forward, but their first attempt to develop two small parts of it for 33 homes, the first 33 homes in North Point, that was denied by county staff on November 26th.
Interesting.
So we need to get
But we don't know why.
We don't know why yet. We're going to get to the bottom.
How many homes have been approved there?
None at this point. So these were the first 33.
But I mean, conceptually, wasn't North Point approved at some point?
Oh, yeah, it was.
Like 900 homes on 30 acres or something like that?
I think you're right. Yeah. I don't have the number.
900 homes on 5 acres.
I do have that number in front of me. 900 homes on 264 acres.
Yeah, 900 homes on less than 300 acres.
Yes, you're right.
Remarkable.
So North Point is another area that's going to have both a mix of housing. It's going to have an elementary school, but it's also going to have big box grocery store, department store, hotel, offices. They're actually talking about another hotel for Hollymead Town Center, too.
Wow.
That's news.
Gosh.
So that's North Point.
So that's North Point. Albemarle Place, the little shopping center that could, is it still ever going
to
happen?
Albemarle Place, the size of two downtown malls, as I like to say. It's going to have 700 to 800 apartments, big box grocery store, which will not be Whole Foods. Whole Foods was the first signed tenant for Albemarle Place.
But they bailed.
We now know they're going across the street over near the Kmart. You know, this they've gotten permits for some preliminary grading. You can see that as you drive down 29. But right now it's being held up as they resolve some of the sewer capacity issues. That's expected to be resolved by 2009. Frank Cox, the lead developer on this, says that's not holding him up and that he's moving forward. Still very positive about the prospects for this and that, you know, they're going to factor in the sewer capacity issue into their development. But
is that arguably the biggest local shopping center to be built? Because that's massive. Yeah. Albemarle Place is just so huge. It wraps back around, you know, for folks who do from Hydraulic, where the old Blockbuster is that they tore down, and then up back up behind Sperry Marine, and then comes out on the other side of Sperry Marine, a new traffic light there in front of the post office. We certainly need another one of those,
yeah, it does
it's
a complete,
just so big.
It does a complete U around the Sperry Marine facility.
Yeah. That could be, it just sounds to me like it's one of the biggest that's ever been done here.
I can tell you right here, Albemarle Place is about 616,000 square feet of retail.
Wow.
And that is the biggest, the only one close that I've got in my notes here is North Point at 540,000.
Wow. Man.
So it is big.
Huge. All right. The next one, before we run out of time, the next one is the big shopping center that is slated to be built down Fifth Street, right along 64.
This is the only one of the four we're going to talk about that's not been approved yet. So this one is still in the process being looked at by the Board of Supervisors. Planning Commission in July voted in favor of it, 6-1. Bill Edgerton from the Jack Jewett District voted against it. But it's now going through work sessions with the Board of Supervisors. Expect a public hearing in January. And this will be, as you said, behind the Hardee's on Fifth Street. It will connect over to Avon. So that connector road is a key part of the road network that the county is looking to build. However, one of the issues to keep an eye on here is that that road will have to go over an old landfill, which was the old Charlottesville landfill.
This is news.
And so they're looking at the county's a little concerned about that being a road that they would suddenly have ownership of and have to worry about. So there's
some, who knows what's in there
what's going to happen. So right now the applicant, Frank Cox is also involved in this one, is trying to get a Department of Environmental Quality permit to put the road in place. And they're going to have to look at some of the environmental issues around that site and parts of it, that landfill, they would like to put things on top of. So that's something to look at in the future. They're also looking at the traffic impacts. We've talked about those on the interchange at I-64 because a lot of people will want to get off on I-64, cut through this development to get to places like Mill Creek or Monticello High School.
I would.
Sure.
When I lived down in Mill Creek, it was really difficult to get, you know, you just have to crawl through Charlottesville to get anywhere to find 64, even though you're right there. You can see it. There's no interchange. Yeah, it makes sense that you would just cut through a shopping center to be able to get on the highway.
Yep. And it won't be like cutting through a shopping center. It won't be like, like if you're driving through the giant shopping center we were talking about. It won't be like that. It'll be a road intended to get you from point A to point B quickly.
And the shopping center will be off that road.
That's right.
And that's the shopping center. Of course, we're down there at 5th Street Extended along 64. Not yet approved, but it's in the works. That's the one where they're talking about a Home Depot, right?
A big home improvement, another big shopping center.
Love
groceries.
The Home Depot.
And and in that case, you know, that's an argument where I think it can easily be made that that side of town needs more retail, especially,
absolutely.
Especially the Home Depot flavor.
The one thing that's disappointing about that, and somebody pointed this out to me recently, I can't remember who it was, but they said, you know, when you drive on 64 through Charlottesville, you really don't see much. It's not like going through Waynesboro where everything is like right up on the highway. You see the jail, you see PVCC, but you don't really see a lot right on the highway when you go through the Charlottesville area. Now, this you would see. This mall would be right there on the highway.
Well, you'll see it more from 5th Street than you will from 64. And they've actually done some visual simulations to show the Planning Commission and Board of Supervisors that it will be very well screened from I-64. Now, some of those trees are in the VDOT right-of-way that are screening it, so the applicant doesn't have control over them. But it does look like it'll be pretty well screened from the interstate. That said, I would encourage the public to keep that point you just made in mind. That is one of the things that makes our community special, that our interstate intersections aren't all cluttered up lots of development like that, that, you know, makes a lot of other communities pretty ugly.
Right. Like Fredericksburg. When you go through that Route 3 area, well, that's a mess.
That's a pretty good example.
Yeah. Ryan Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, joins us on Tuesday afternoons to get the very latest about growth and development here in Central Virginia. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.